In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Today is Rogate Sunday, which, as I said earlier, is a fancy Latin word that simply means to ask. It is this Sunday, so near the end of the Easter season and right before the ascension of our Lord this Thursday, that the church pauses to learn from our risen and ascended Lord how we may access him who seems so far from us. Here, he teaches us to set aside what our feelings and senses tell us in order to impress upon us how close he is to us when we call upon him in prayer. In the second commandment, God teaches us how to rightly use his name. He does this first by forbidding us to use his name as a curse word, which is so common today, even sadly, among many Christians. With this command, he also forbids lying in his name, which condemns anyone who would use his name in order to sort of bolster their cause, which would, of course, include any politicians who say that they are speaking for God or in his name, any false teachers who would foist false doctrine upon the church, and even little children on the playground who are trying to get their friends to believe something that may or may not be true. In addition to forbidding the misuse of his name, God also gives us the second commandment in order to teach us how to rightly use his name. We are to call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and thanksgiving. God regards the proper use of his name as very serious, which means that the devil and our own sinful flesh will throw obstacles in our way when it comes to rightly using his name. Perhaps you may feel that God is too busy to hear the prayers of someone like you, or maybe it is that your requests are not important enough to warrant God's attention, or perhaps your sinfulness makes you unworthy in God's sight to call upon his name. Maybe you are too apathetic to pray, thinking that someone else will do it for me, or worse, just too lazy to do it. In each of these cases, we should remember this commandment from God, that God sees a failure to pray just as serious as idolatry or even murder. And he indeed threatens to punish all who fail to use his name rightly by calling upon him in prayer. But when it comes to this commandment, we should also remember that since God has so commanded us to use his name for prayer, that he will certainly hear you, no matter what the devil, the world, or even your own sinful flesh will tell you. Has not God commanded you to pray in the second commandment? Then he will hear you. After all, with the commandment, God gives so many great promises about prayer. He says in Psalm 50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Jesus himself says in Luke's gospel, when teaching the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And today, at the beginning of the gospel lesson, Jesus says again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." This is why God so graciously gives his name to us in holy baptism. On your baptism day, God adopted you into his family by washing you with the water and the word, and that word is God's holy name. It is by baptism that God has become your father, and Christ has become your brother, and you have become God's own dear child. This is why Jesus teaches us to pray his prayer by saying the words, "Our Father." He doesn't teach us to pray to his Father, but to our Father who art in heaven. St. Paul says in Galatians 3, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Because you have died with Christ in baptism, you are no longer children of death and hell, but you are children of eternal life and heaven. This is why Jesus says to us on the day of his resurrection, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." With these words, "Our Father," our God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children. And this means that we can be certain that God wants us to call upon him as children speaking to their fathers and does indeed promise to hear and answer our prayers. And this is one of those small parts of the Holy Trinity that we can begin to understand. Quick poll of the congregation. How many of you parents love to hear from your children? You don't really have to raise your hand. I know, you're Lutherans, that would be awkward. Now, how many children roll your eyes every single time your parents ask you about your day? And parents can probably testify to that as well. Even my 7-year-old. You know that your parents ask you about those mundane things because they love to hear from you. This is especially true when you're sitting around your table and talking about your day at school or at work or at practice. Your parents aren't expecting to learn anything new, but they love you so much that they simply want to hear you tell them about your day. And your Father in heaven, he's the same way. He knows about all your needs and your worries, and yet he loves you so much that he wants to hear from you. And this is the joy and freedom that we as Christians have when it comes to prayer. God already knows your needs. After all, he created you. He knows every hair on your head. But even more so, he knows your needs because he sent his son Jesus into your flesh in order to suffer every way that you suffer. Your brother Christ experienced hunger and thirst, pain and loss. He suffered in every single way and with every temptation that you face. This is what Jesus means when he says to us, "Your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." So this means that the prayer of the Christian is one that is built on confidence in the Lord's rich blessings and promises rather than coming from the poverty of the fallen flesh. And so we as Christians may joyfully go to our Heavenly Father with our prayers and with our praises, knowing that he will hear them. And that indeed he will give us whatever is in accord with his good and gracious will. So you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are children of God
by virtue of your baptism into Christ's death. What does this mean? It means that you are heirs of the riches of your heavenly Father's eternal kingdom. Yours is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, which are more precious than earthly and perishable gold or silver. Yours is eternity. Yours is the privilege to be called God's own child. Yours is the privilege of calling God Father. And so, on this Rogate Sunday, this Ask Sunday, let us rejoice together in what a great gift it is to call God Father. The one who has made heaven and earth is our Father. With these words, he tenderly invites you to believe that he is your true Father and that you are his true children, that you may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.